dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
And let's talk trots for the next 20 minutes or so with this week's edition of Gate Speed. And joining us is Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're terrific, Nards. We're pleased to have you back. It's almost like we're getting the entire band back together, isn't it? It's good to
be. Three-piece band.
I'd be on bass because I'm not really musically talented.
Yeah, you say that because I used to play bass in a band,
don't
you?
Bass is the easiest.
Right, yeah. Anyway.
The triangle.
Yeah.
it's
more your
that.
Speed, I think, yeah.
That good old triangle. Look, it's been a pretty big week. Of course, we saw some great racing up in Queensland over the weekend, and we have learnt quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. But as we know with the harness racing, it rolls from one state to another, and even though we might be in the winter months in Victoria, we can get a bit of a sniff of what we got in store with still some pretty good racing.
Absolutely. It was terrific stuff up in Brisbane and Albion Park at Saturday night in particular. It was a good racing on Friday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton as well. But the big stuff was up there for the climax of the carnival, the winter carnival in Queensland, Baker, and one horse in particular. I'd like to see you. Are you okay? I mean, Lenny gets beaten. Hector beats him. But to be honest, we've almost switched and swapped here because my personal belief, I mean, I give great plaudits to Hector JJ. He's had no luck, in my opinion, in several major races, Grand Circuit races. Often it takes them 12 months at the top level to draw first blood, and that's what he was able to do, of course, on Saturday night, coming from well off the speed, 6, 7, 8 wide as you like on that Albion Park track, and it had been raining pretty heavily, so it was pretty slushy out there. But I personally thought, Baker, that Lenny the Shark, it was near a career best performance. They've gone 55-1, the middle half of the final mile over the long trip, going around tight bends at Albion Park. Lenny the Shark's been posted the entire way, and somehow he's battled on and only just been beaten into fourth. So while we're going to laud Hector JJ with the first point of our 5 points today, Lenny the Shark for mine, absolutely unbelievable.
What did you take out of it, Blake? We know you've been a bit of a Lenny fan. Who do you feel are the ones to follow out of the race there on Saturday night?
I actually think Mr. Mojito is probably the horse that he's not probably going to win a Grand Circuit race, but if he found the
Depends. Is a Vic Cup a Grand Circuit race?
I don't know. Is it?
I think it's slated to still be a Grand Circuit race. Okay. Is that where they're headed? That's where I've read Mr. Mojito.
I suspect that if he had the right run in the Victoria Cup, the way he went, he's the one that pulled three wide first, and he was only beaten 5 metres by all the big guns on, you know, as you say, a really hot middle tempo. I'm not sure about Lenny, and, you know, it does hurt me to say it a little bit. I just worry that maybe at this stage of his career, where he doesn't have that really high speed that maybe he did once have, if he has to sit parked, which he's going to have to in a lot of big races, he's going to have a good horse on his back, he's going to have a good horse in front, a good horse behind the leader. Yes, he's good enough, but is he... You know, does he have the high speed that they will all have sitting around him?
The same has been true for his entire career, and you're probably right, like a footy player, like the first thing you lose is probably that step of speed, that yard of speed, and he probably has lost it to a degree, but you think he's won Miracle Mile sitting parked, he's won Inter Dominion sitting parked. I think he can do it again. Smoking Up had the same issues throughout his career most of the time. He was posted in big races, particularly when he wasn't able to find the front. But look, we should be probably spending more time on Hector JJ. He's finally got the Grand Circuit win. It's not the biggest Grand Circuit race in the calendar, but it is his first Grand Circuit win. Everyone talked about his glass jaw, what a powder puff pacer he was. Well, he proved that he's more than that. He did come from off the speed. He did get a soft trip. They did put the speed on up front for him, but he still had to come wide, as wide as you possibly can at Albion Park on that slushy track, and get the job done. So big clap, round of applause for Hector JJ. He's finally got one on the board. Now he gets his opportunity. These horses, I'm not sure whether he'll come back for the Victoria Cup. We'll have to speak to Aiki maybe next week or later this week on the Inside Word to see what exactly the plan is, because he will be wanting to continue to separate Lenny and Hector where possible. Both of them, though, you'd think will be headed to Perth, and both of them will be headed to the big races early next year in terms of the Hunter Cup, you'd imagine, and the Miracle Mile. So great to see Hector get the score on the board, and hopefully it's the first of a number of Grand Circuit successes for him, Nads.
Definitely on the local scene. Amaretto was just far too good. It was quite an authoritative margin, and she looks like she could be a pretty handy mare.
Yeah,
well, the way she won on the weekend, look, she sort of put the writing on the wall, didn't she, the start before she ran a terrific race at Tabcorp Park, and then to come out in that mare's feature, and, I mean, she just blew them away. A couple in behind didn't have the best of luck. Glenferrie Blade and co, but they were never ever going to beat her the way she won. And I think, you know, we knew early doors, did she win maybe a Breeders' Crown semi-final at Ballarat? She's sort of right being there as a younger horse, but to sort of come on and do it, I don't think she'll be in Victoria for long. I think she will head back up to Ashgreaves in New South Wales at some point in the next month or two, but just to see what she's doing right now, there's no reason she can't come down here maybe next year in a Queen of the Pacific and be really competitive.
It's a funny sort of situation with the mares too. I know we're a long way off the big mares features, but it probably looked only, I don't know, 6 or 12 months ago, even less to some degree, that we were going through a real golden era of female paces, and it's all sort of just dropped away a little bit now. I haven't seen Our Dream About Me for a long time. The Origin agent we know has now got another significant injury, and you wonder whether she's got the capacity to come back from that. Certainly Delight Me doesn't seem to be racing anywhere near as well as she was. Arms of an Angel has had a significant setback. We haven't seen her for a very long time. There's no guarantee she's going to get back to her best. So Amaretto's always been a horse, I guess, that's been just that half step off the very best female paces in Australia. But what she's done here in Victoria, what she did the other night was absolutely dominant, admittedly against probably inferior female paces. But I've got a funny feeling if they can keep her going on this trajectory, Baker, that she could be tackling those very best mares races next season.
Absolutely.
Also, All Stars surf the highs and lows of Harness Racing's ride.
Yeah, we'll start with the highs, I guess. The more the better getting the job done up there at Albion Park in the Derby. But a couple of retirements. We probably were amiss to miss eulogising Smolder, but certainly Spanish Armada, of course, the superstar three-year-old filly of this season, the best of a golden generation of three-year-old fillies, you would think, has been retired as well. So sort of tough times, I guess, for the All-Stars. I don't have too many tough times. They got that little fill-up up there in Queensland, but we should eulogise Smolder. What an unbelievably good horse he was.
He was, and he was just he's that kind of horse you'd love to own or train or drive, isn't he? He was always there in the big races. He continued to go around, and he probably got better with age. He really did his damage sort of in the last part of his career at the Grand Circuit, for sure. So, you know, he's one of those horses that I think, you know, in 10 or 15 years, everyone will talk about Lenny the Shark and Hector JJ, but I hope they still talk about Smolder as well, given what he has done in the last sort of 18 months.
Also, Super Series lesser medals worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, I thought this was we discussed this briefly on the Saturday morning show, Talking Trots, but it was instituted, would you say, 2 to 3 years ago,
yeah,
Baker, the silver and the bronze. So maybe we've only had two editions of it, maybe three now, but it's just sensational. Look, there are sets, consolations, that's what they are there for the horses that have gone through the Vic Bred Super Series, either heat or semi-final or both, weren't able to make their particular deciders on the big night, and they get to go around on one program that's usually a big program, 11 or 12 races, and we got to see them go around at Kilmore last Thursday night. The racing was extraordinarily willing. It was as though they were playing for sheep stations, playing for keeps on Thursday night, the way that they raced. And you can understand why. These are horses, many of whom probably won't make it on the big stage necessarily. They're good, handy, age-restricted horses that aren't up to the elite, but you know, we got to see some wonderful performances and some lesser light, I guess, trainers and drivers get the job done too. My particular highlight from the night, and I put it in my Sprint Lane column, was Pick Up Line getting the job done for owner breeder Patrick Franklin and trainer Paul Green, who is, of course, a progeny of one of our old favourites here in Chick at the Bar. And that's what the program was made for. That's what it was instituted for. And it's just one of those great things from a few years ago with the Vic Bred Super Series also moving to two big nights that I think has worked really well.
Yeah, and it was one of those things, wasn't it? These horses aren't necessarily going to measure up to a Breeders' Crown. Some of them might, you know, get through their heats, but this is sort of grand final day in many ways. With $25,000 silver finals, it's a good amount of money on the line. So as you say, the racing was really strongly contested, and there were some terrific stories. Spirit Rider got back to somewhere near his best. Alba Rock for the Shins was terrific. One of your favourites at big odds, and Xavier O'Connor driving a win of the Jillaby Mako. So it was it was certainly an interesting night for the punter, but I think in terms of the sport and watching the races, it was quite exciting.
And also, Henry helps his trainers celebrate birthday in style.
Well, you're on track, Baker. John Justice, did he give away the actual vintage that we were talking about?
I didn't ask. And
we can always look up the database if we really wanted to. We're not going to do that to John. He's been a great trainer, and got to go, Henry. They just disrespect him. He's got gate speed, and he's able to sort of persist with his gate speed until he finds the front in most of his races. And they're leaving him alone, I think, on the proviso that we're probably just too good for him, too quick for him. We'll just run this horse down.
And he's not a middle distance horse, so he's he generally doesn't fire over the middle distance, but they went that slowly that it turned into a sprint
race. Well, it was a farcical tempo, really, wasn't it? And you sit back at your own peril in those sort of races, and that's what's happened. But he's continued to threaten as though he was going to win one of these races. He's gone very close, and you just know if you keep leaving him alone that he's going to win one of them. Well, that's exactly what he did, and I believe John is either the sole owner or the majority owner of Got to Go Henry, so it would have been some sort of birthday for John Justice, who has been one of the great trainers in Victoria over the past 20 years, particularly when you think back to horses like Shaker Maker and Safe and Sound. But we've got a free-for-all coming up this weekend, Baker, and hopefully the tempo is a little bit more genuine.
And he actually trained the Quinella. I know it was a dead heat for second, but Hot as L was getting up the inside dead heat for second, so it was a big night for John for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now we've got our guest, Brent Lilly, joining us to talk a bit about Saturday night and also the fact that he's got Keystone Dell returning to the trials. How are you, Brent?
Good, thanks, Nadia.
First of all, let's talk a little bit about Keystone Dell. You've got him ready to return to the trials?
Yes, we trialled last Tuesday at Melton, and he was just in with the paces and followed them around, and was poking in between them at the finish, sort of full of running, so it was quite encouraging.
It must have been really exciting, Brent. Let's be fair. He's probably at a crossroads of his career. He's been so good for so long. He's certainly not getting any younger, but to see him sort of come back and be making ground on the paces the way he was, and he didn't look under any pressure, he must have been thrilled with it.
Yeah, well, certainly, the start we gave him there a couple of months ago, the writing was on the wall maybe that his best days were behind him, but... I was sort of confident that would get him back to somewhere near his best, and I think he's certainly heading in that direction.
Will we see him at the races in the next month or two?
Yeah, look, I'll probably poke him around at another trial or probably another week or so, and maybe Maryborough would be a free call there to pick him up in.
Lils, you got a couple of very, very good trotters going around in the free-for-all this weekend at Tabcorp Park, Melton, that we haven't seen for a little while, in Kaya Valley, Blur and Maori Time. Exactly where are they at and what are you expecting from them this weekend?
Yeah, he's in a bit of a wind tunnel there, unfortunately, Brent Lilly, and unfortunately we have to sort of cut that interview short. But as you mentioned, guys, he's got a couple of top liners that head to the races this Saturday.
It'll be really interesting to see where Mary Time's at, because she sort of tailed away at the end of her last preparation, but they've spoken sort of for 12 months now about driving her a lot more conservatively against the better horses. She gets that opportunity from the second row, of course. We know how much gate speed she has, but I'm quite keen to see exactly where she's at, given that, they could easily have retired her and bred from her at this stage of her career, but they've decided to push on and race her, so maybe she could be one that could be a bit of a surprise packet this preparation. And I think we all know, Bond, that Kai Valley Blur, he's sort of shaken that non-winner's tag, and he's an ironclad star. He's going to be in the best square gating races in the next 12 months.
Yeah, you would have thought so. And particularly with that Keith Sandell, it's a whole new world, really, isn't it? Because everyone was chasing him
home.
We're
just hearing that he's back.
No, but I mean, without him in this race and without him necessarily being the benchmark that he once was, I'm sure that he'll get back to the races. But look, I probably have my own doubts whether he can get back and be the completely dominant force that he once was. And that takes nothing away from his career. He's a champion trotter, no doubt about that. But these horses now probably get their opportunity at the free-for-all level to take their turn a little bit more. And Kai Valley Blur, he did shake it to some degree. I think he's got to come back and keep winning races, because he did have a long heritage and reputation of being very, very quick at the end of his races, looming up, looking like he was going to win a lot of races and probably not winning a hell of a lot of races. But as I mentioned, he gets his opportunity, this preparation. And Lil's entire team is going gangbusters. He had four winners on Wednesday night at Bendigo, and a couple of them are ultra impressive. Irish Miss was very, very good at ability as a younger horse. It didn't go past the creme de la creme in that 3TO to 3T1, but I like the way it did. It's sunny afternoon. He's turned that mare around. She's become very consistent. She finds the front in most of her races at the moment. And any old way, that was an absolutely dominant performance from a horse who's always had its share of ability as well. Only won by a couple of metres, but did all the work. Really pressed the button pretty soon, and it was a dominant performance. And I found with Lils over his 6, 7, 8 years he's been in Victoria, probably, that when they're firing, you stick with them.
And I think you were probably more impressed than anything, Son of Anarchy, on the weekend as well. He was super running second to Mary Law, and he's got a nice soft draw in the final of that Winter Trotters Cup, where Liz will have four runners. He's got Kai Valley Boomerang involved, as well as Zeta Light, and also Connam Bridge, who's racing particularly well at the minute. So that'll be a good race, but he takes on some pretty big guns.
I think the pre-race interview is going to be pretty crucial there. I might just wander over to Brad Angove and say, with Sundon's Courage, are you planning to hold and keep the, or are you planning to be able to hold your rivals wide and then keep the front from there? Because we know Maori Law is going to probably want to go forward. Interesting to see if Into the Unknown, you just never know. Frontline Draw, how much does it help her? Because she seems to get so far back in her races. You suspect that one day in a very, very big race, she's going to be close enough.
I don't think
she's going to go straight past them.
She drew through in the heat, drew three in the heat, and she just drifted right back out of it. So she could potentially try and hold her spot and work to the breeze, but I don't think she's ever going to be humming off the arm.
And in terms of the other features, there's a couple of Tatlows on this weekend at Tabcorp Park Mountain for the boys and the girls. Nostra Villa has proven her class already. She's beaten Nostra Beach. Molly Kelly draws off the front line coming off a Group 1 Breeders' Challenge win. Can you see any upsets there as Nostra Villa, even from an awkward draw, just going to be able to dominate the race?
Yeah, she'll dominate for sure. She'll be $1.20, won't she? And she'll be winning. But I'm most interested in the boys' version because we know Poster Boy's there. He's drawn the outside of the front in a field of seven, but I think Tam Major, he probably can't beat him, but given what he's been doing of recent times, I think he'll run a very, very good second.
And with time slightly against us, the other feature race is the Winter Championship final for the Pacers. Van Maar has also drawn awkwardly. It hasn't made some easy races have turned out very hard, courtesy of some of these draws. Van Maar draws inside the second line just too good, or are you not willing to declare it just yet?
No, definitely not declaring him. Bell's Beach House ran a slashing race in the heat. Maybe slashing's taking it a bit far, but given the inside barrier draw and he has a bit of gate speed, I'm very interested when the Tab put their fixed odds markets up. It's a Group 3, so hopefully in the next couple of hours I'll be keen to pile into Bell's Beach House.
Wonderful. Thanks for that, guys, and we'll chat throughout the week.
Thanks, Nards.